flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today as we inch closer to this championship game. It feels like the week is going slower than last week. It feels like it's going slower than it did the week of the Packers game. I'm ready for this game to get here. I'm ready to find out, frankly, if I'm going to New Orleans for a week and if you guys are coming with me to go to the Super Bowl. So ready for this game to get here. But today is a very big day as the Eagles begin practice for the NFC Championship game. I'll be curious to see what it's like there down there at the NovaCare. Normally, I remember in 2022 and 2017, I'm pretty sure, they brought the NFC trophy to the home field. To the practice facility of the home team. They bring the helmet of the other team. Maybe there'll be a different backdrop. So things should be different this week in little ways. We'll see, you know, how much more media is there. Obviously, one of only two NFL games. So should be an exciting few days down at the NovaCare. But here's everything you need to know to prepare yourself for the first day of practice for the Eagles for their game against the Washington Commanders. So what is on the schedule today? Of course, first, 10 a.m., Daily Go Birds pod. Thank you so much for listening. It means the world that you take the time to spend 10 a.m. with us for those that have. I love seeing everybody talk in the chat. So thank you to everybody that's come kind of hang out with me and James at 10 a.m. But in terms of the Eagles, quick caveat, the Eagles have been changing their times around quite a bit recently. So here are the current times, but these definitely could change. So Nick Sirianni scheduled to speak at 12:05. I'm sure we'll be carrying that on WIP, but as well, you can come check out, follow me on Twitter, and I'll have all the interesting quotes for you. And then on Thursday's Daily Pod, we'll, of course, wrap up everything he had to say. Big news from him. I don't expect him to actually say anything about it, but we'll see what Jalen Hurts and Quinn Yan do today. Then at 3:35, the Eagles will practice at Lincoln Financial Field. Makes sense. They've been playing there, obviously. But also, every time I drive by the NovaCare, that practice facility is still covered in snow on the practice field. In fact, today when I was walking, or I should say on Tuesday when I was walking to the press conferences, the big bubble they have, a massive amount of snow just slid off, fell, and crashed onto the ground. Obviously, they had it all blocked off so no one could walk there, but the NovaCare still dealing with snow from the ramifications of that snow game they played in on Sunday. So practice at 3:35 at Lincoln Financial Field, and then right around 5 o'clock, the locker room opens up, and that's when we should hear from Jalen Hurts. Now, I say should because Wednesday is a big day. We will see if Jalen Hurts is going to be out there for practice. And that brings us to our injury report for the day. So the two names to still keep an eye on, Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell. And then, of course, any other injuries that might have popped up. So Wednesday is a big day to see who's on the injury report, who's practicing, and if they're on the injury report, what's keeping them on the injury report in terms of the injury and how much they're doing. So while I say we should hear from Jalen Hurts today, if Jalen doesn't practice, I would be shocked if he talked. So assuming Jalen practices today while he's, you know, still dealing with that knee injury, Then we'll hear from Jalen, you know, sometime in the 5 o'clock hour. But outside of that, there's a shot we don't hear from over the day. So speaking of injuries, Nick Sirianni was on WIP Tuesday morning and was asked about Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell. And I thought there was, you know, a little kind of slip up in there as to where they're at with it. So here is Nick, obviously on the WIP morning show with Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, and our good buddy, our good friend, James Seltzer.
Are you preparing game plan wise, confident that he will definitely play, or is there some uncertainty there?
Yeah, you know, you prepare for everything. He came back in the game, played in the game. We're preparing, as you know, with him being the quarterback, just like you go through each week. So we'll see tomorrow where everybody is, and we'll go from there.
So what caught my attention when I was driving listening to this was, we are preparing with him. We are preparing with him being the quarterback. And I say that not in like a, we're preparing as if he might not play. You just don't often hear Nick say that. Normally when Nick talks about injuries, he says, we'll see what happens. We'll find out tomorrow. We'll have the injury report for you guys. We're preparing for all the outcomes. So to me, that felt like a little bit of, all right, calm down. He's going to be the quarterback. So I thought that was noteworthy. Obviously didn't give much on Quinyon, but that's why today is such a big day. We'll see if Quinyon's out there. We'll see if Jalen's out there and all the good injury updates. So hopefully some good injury updates as the day goes on for you guys. Okay. On Tuesday, the coordinator spoke, Vic Fangio, Michael Clay, Kellen Moore. And while normally there's not like a ton to get into with them, there was a lot of interesting quotes, I thought, from them leading up to this NFC Championship game. So let's start with Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio was asked about two really important issues in this game. One, obviously going up against Jaden Daniels, and two, Isaiah Rodgers. So first, let's talk about Jaden Daniels. So we will talk about him a ton on the pod throughout the week. Me and James talked about him on both daily pods so far. But Vic Fangio, I thought, used a really good line when talking about him and how he's been this year. Here's what Vic had to say about Jaden Daniels being a quote-unquote rookie quarterback.
Jaden Daniels is obviously a young quarterback, and you saw him just last month, but he's played in his first postseason games. I mean, in that small amount of time, has he changed?
He's a young quarterback by birth certificate, not by the tape. You know, the guy's playing extremely well. You could tell how much they think he's playing, you know, so good by the volume of their offense and the things they trust him to do. And he's come through for them in a big way, and he's tough to handle.
You know, you have to think over all the years Fangio's been speaking to media, he's used that line before, but it's a good one. And I think it accurately depicts where Jaden Daniels is at. And one of the things that really sticks out to me about how he's just not a true rookie quarterback is how few times he puts the ball in harm's way. In these playoff games, he has one turnover-worthy play in like 65 or so dropbacks. So he just doesn't put the ball in harm's way. So a lot of times with rookie quarterbacks, you see, obviously, rookie mistakes. They throw the ball into coverage, they fumble it, they throw interceptions because they're just not used to what they're seeing. The defensive look confuses them. With Jaden Daniels, the stats indicate he's not confused by much. And frankly, the Eagles weren't able to confuse him last time they played. I know he had two interceptions, but he had five touchdowns in that game, including, of course, the game-winning drive. It only happened because Devontae dropped that. But regardless, he still had that game-winning drive. So I think it's very clear. Listen to Fangio talk about quarterbacks all year. You can tell he has a ton of respect for Jaden Daniels, and rightfully so. Like, their ability to shut down Jaden Daniels will be a big part of this game on Sunday. So one of the ways they can shut down Jaden Daniels is good play in the secondary. And as we talked about, Quinyon Mitchell, status up in the air for Sunday. We'll know more later today when they hit the practice field. But if he doesn't play, it'll be Isaiah Rodgers out there. Like, Vic made that clear, that Rodgers is the first one up. Rodgers is the one that went in this past Sunday when Quinyon had to leave the game. So we've seen Isaiah Rodgers in limited spurts this year. He's made some nice plays. He's given up some plays. He's almost made other plays. But no one's seen him as much as Vic Fangio has. So I asked Vic about Isaiah Rodgers, and here's what he had to say.
There's a chance Isaiah Rodgers has a bigger role this week. You obviously get to watch him practice all season. How do you feel like he's improved throughout the year behind the scenes without getting consistent snaps every week?
Well, he was a guy that all during OTAs and training camp was doing very well. And then he broke his hand and was out for a few weeks and was slow to recover from that, meaning when he came back, he wasn't playing at the same level he was prior. But now he's definitely back to where he was, and I have total confidence in him.
So if you listen to the daily pods, or they weren't daily at that point. Wow, that's sad to think there was a time without daily pods. What a different life that was for me. A worse life. I love doing the daily pods. So if you think back to off season and then training camp, I was huge on Isaiah Rodgers. I said it was one of the best moves Howie's ever made to pick him up for free. He was outstanding. He was making plays in camp, making plays in OTAs. So I agree with Vic Fangio when he says he was playing really well. Like, I am high on Isaiah Rodgers as a corner. I think if he played, you know, 7 consecutive weeks or whatever, he'd be so much better at the end of the 7 weeks than he would be right now. Now, there's not even 7 days between now and the game, let alone 7 weeks. It's clearly a matchup that Washington is going to go after. On the other side of the commercial break, we're going to dive into the Eagles corners versus the Washington receivers. And it's a matchup for sure that Washington's going to try to take advantage of. So I agree with Vic when he said he had that good, the good start before breaking his hand. And we'll see how he plays on Sunday. But Isaiah Rodgers, a massive, massive part of this game if he's out there playing. And frankly, even if Quinyon starts, and Slay starts, Isaiah Rodgers is probably playing in this game just based off how things have gone the past few weeks. So big game coming up for Isaiah Rodgers. All right, let's move to special teams because it seems like everybody is very, very concerned about Jake Elliott. It was funny in the post-game pod, I can sometimes see the comments on the side and it was like, get Elliott out of here. Elliott's the worst. Like what? And at first I was like, wow. That's normally what my Twitter mentions say, but it was talking about Jake Elliott. So people seem pretty concerned about Jake Elliott, somewhat rightfully so. He has the two obviously miss extra points. I think the Eagles will highlight to you, and Nick did on Tuesday, talking to Jody Cameron, the morning show, that he's 6 for 6 on field goals, but the missed extra points add up. It's why the Rams were driving to win the game instead of just tie it. They would have been up 8 instead of 6. So, you know, with Jake Elliott being such a topic over these past few weeks, I've heard Michael Clay answer the Jake Elliott question so many different ways. And no matter how he answers it, it essentially boils down to, yeah, Jake's trying, he's working hard, and I have faith he'll make him in the future. Like, he can talk about, you know, and I thought that it was a little interesting that he pointed to how quickly Saquon scored as like a way that messed up Jake Elliott's kind of rhythm where he didn't get his normal amount of kicks in. Like, that was an interesting little nugget there. But outside of that, it's mostly just, yeah, I hope he makes them, and we have faith he'll make them because he's made them in the past. Now, that hasn't worked out in the first two games. He's missed extra points. And while, you know, Green Bay, they were never really in danger of losing that game. And frankly, against the Rams, once Saquon scored, it felt like that game was over, and it was those missed kicks didn't matter. And he did make the big extra, the big field goals in the fourth quarter, put them up big. But yeah, those two points, as Andy Reid said, like, he can do the math, and those 2 points ended up really mattering. So, obviously, moving forward, they're going to stick with Jake Elliott, but they're just going to have to hope he makes it. So I thought this quote from Michael Clay was an interesting one. And while I don't think they're going to move on from Jake Elliott at all, like, Jake Elliott will be the kicker till the end of the season. So the make or miss league quote part of that quote was what really caught my attention. And I think this would be more noteworthy if it was week like 4. Because again, Jake's going to kick on Sunday. And barring an injury or him going like 0 for 6, because they have 2 weeks in between then, maybe they bring in a kicker for like a workout. But I would be stunned, beyond stunned, if they moved on from Jake Elliott. So I think this more speaks to like this offseason. Like, would the Eagles bring in competition for Jake Elliott? Would they ask him to redo his contract? Like, there are aspects to him having a poor year that we will be talking about in the offseason. But the make or miss league kind of part of that quote from Michael Clay really caught my attention. So last is Kellen Moore, who, again, I wish him the best. I think he seems like a good guy from my interactions with him. He has got to get better at the podium if he's going to be a head coach. So Kellen was asked about a number of different things, including Jalen, and he just kind of said what you always expect him to say. He did a good job managing the game. He did a good job not turning it over. The passing game's on all of us. There was one funny moment when John McMullen asked Kellen essentially something like, you know, you only finished with 65 net yards, and Kellen kind of interrupted him and went, not ideal. So, you know, obviously they know they need to pass it for more. For everyone, you know, defending Jalen online, and admirably so. The Eagles know that the passing game's not good enough, and the Eagles know that they need to pass it better. So Kellen gave all the normal quotes on that. But the two things he did say that I think were interesting were, one, about the safety that happened against the Rams, and two, about this upcoming matchup and going after Marshawn Lattimore. So here's what Kellen Moore had to say about the safety that Jalen Hurts and the offense took against the Rams.
Yeah, that one's on me. That one's simply on me. You know, chasing a particular look that is more traditional in the open field, and we were backed up, and that's one that, hey, I'll call something different in that situation based off of, you know, just the way it played out.
So 100% on you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say, hey, you know what, he should have gone to Dallas there to get rid of the ball.
There's things within it, but obviously, you know, my number one focus is put the guys in the best position to be successful, and didn't feel like I did.
Yeah, Kellen can say it's on him, and I'm sure that he wishes he did call something different considering how it worked out. But, like, the reason Jalen makes all the money is to get out of that situation. It doesn't mean he has to every time. He doesn't have to clean up every mistake. But quarterbacks are paid to clean up the mistakes of others and make others around them better. So I don't think it was flat out Jalen's fault on the safety. The defensive lineman did make an awesome play to get to him. Some of the routes weren't open when he went to throw it. Goddard looked like he was open, and it looked like he was going to throw it to him. But at that point, the defender was in his face. The injury was probably a part of it. They're not going to criticize Jalen at the podium. I think it's the right way to go about it, to be honest. But yeah, could Kellen have made a better call? Obviously, look how it worked out. But I don't think, I think Jalen holds the most blame on that play for the safety. Finally, Kellen Moore was asked about Marshawn Lattimore, obviously the Washington Commanders, arguably top corner, certainly a name, their top corner. He was asked about going after Marshawn Lattimore, and here's what he had to say.
He's obviously one of the best corners in this league. He does a really, really good job. Obviously, it'll be a challenge for us. One game, some things happen. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen the same way. But obviously, he's a guy that, you know, playing against New Orleans over the years has obviously had huge impacts on games, and he does a really good job. So
the Eagles certainly went after Marshawn Lattimore the last time they played. Now, at that point, Lattimore was just coming back off of injury. I think at one point he even left that game due to injury, if I'm not mistaken. But they had A.J. Brown matched up against him, and they went after him. A.J. had 5 catches that day, 68 yards, and 1 touchdown just against Lattimore alone. They targeted him 10 times against Lattimore, and within that, he had the 2 or 3 pass interference calls. So if you look at the 5 catches, the 2 or 3 pass interference calls on 10 targets, I mean, they were almost 80% when targeting AJ against Lattimore in terms of production. So I expect that to be a matchup they will go back to this week. Of course, the passing game needs to play better. That is step one of this. But yeah, I think AJ Brown versus Marshawn Lattimore is a matchup the Eagles will try to exploit. And if AJ is feeling himself, the knee's feeling good. If Jalen is feeling himself, the knee's feeling good, and he's playing at a high level, I think you could see similar numbers to that. And obviously, Kenny Pickett was the quarterback in that game. But I think you'll see them go after Marshawn Lattimore with AJ Brown. Speaking of which, in matchups, on the other side, we are going to dive into the Eagles corners versus the Washington receivers. And a huge part of this, of course, Quinyon Mitchell, Isaiah Rogers, who will be playing, who's going to be going against who. We're going to dive into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So when I started to do this, the matchups, right, looking in all the receivers, who lines up where, who will be lined up against who, I'll be honest, I didn't realize how huge this Isaiah Rogers thing is, because if you look at it, we'll just start right off. Terry McLaurin is easily Washington's best receiver. Terry McLaurin, I mean, that dude is awesome. I'm not often in the camp of, like, I love watching that guy play from another team, or you really have to admire that guy from the other team. Terry McLaurin qualifies that for me. He's awesome every time he plays. He seems like a great guy. It seems like he's truly embraced playing for what has been, up until this year, like a terrible franchise in Washington. You never hear anything about him being unhappy. He just seems like an awesome guy. And you look at the number the years he is having, and he's having a great year. 117 targets, 82 catches, just over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, almost 14 yards per catch. He is legit. So here's where the issue comes into play. Marshawn Lattimore lines up out on the outside almost exclusively. 882 snaps on the outside, 174 snaps in the slot. So he'll move into the slot, but he is mostly on the outside. And when he's on the outside, they attack him deep. He has 30 targets this year over 30 targets this year, over 20 yards. And on those 30 targets, he has 12 catches for 5 touchdowns. So they will throw it to him everywhere. He'll line up in the slot sometimes, but mostly he is lining up on the outside and they are trying to get the ball to him deep. So why is this a problem? It's a problem for any team. But when of the 882 snaps on the outside, he's lined up almost 800 of them on the left. What does that mean? That means he's going up against Quinyon Mitchell. Quinyon Mitchell has played exclusively on the right side. Darius Slay plays exclusively on the left side. So if Terry's lining up on the left, that means defensively he's going up against the right corner. And in this instance, that is Quinyon Mitchell. But in this instance, it might not be Quinyon. It might be Isaiah Rodgers. If Quinyon Mitchell can't play, Terry McLaurin versus Isaiah Rodgers is a massive matchup in this game. That's who they like to throw it to the most. That's their best receiver. And Isaiah Rodgers is going to get targeted. It could have been whoever against from Isaiah. It could have been Noah Brown. It could have been Olamide Zaccheaus. It could have been Luke McCaffrey. Like, they were going to go after Isaiah Rodgers. But the fact that Terry McLaurin is used to lining up where Isaiah Rodgers will be only adds to it. So look for the ball to go Isaiah's way often in the early part of this game. My guess is you will see them shadow a safety over there. They will obviously give him help, but we heard Fangio earlier in the pod. He likes Rodgers. He's played well. I agree with him on that. So while they'll give him help, I don't think they're going to go over and beyond doing it. Like, the Washington does have other weapons, especially in the middle of the field. Like, the Eagles' safeties are going to be busy regardless. So Isaiah Rodgers versus Terry McLaurin, a massive part of this game. And look, even if Quinyon does play, they'll test him. They'll test him with the shoulder. Terry McLaurin, I think, has forced like 11 missed tackles this year. He is really good after the catch, making guys miss. He's a physical receiver. And Quinyon, with that shoulder injury, like, they're going to go after him. So the weakness of the Eagles secondary this week specifically matches up directly with the strength of Washington's wide receiver. So Terry McLaurin, he's the one to know among the Washington receivers. Obviously, you all know him. But the key here is he will be going up against the weak spot of the Eagles defense. So who else do you need to know from Washington's receivers? Obviously, Olamide Zaccheaus. I don't need to go into who he is. We saw him last year with the Eagles. He was not as productive as he's been in Washington. On the year, he has 64 targets, 45 catches, 506 yards, 3 touchdowns. He does line up predominantly in the slot, but a decent amount out wide as well. He's 307 snaps in the slot, which would obviously match him up with Cooper DeJean, but then 265 snaps out wide, and he will line up predominantly on the right. One thing you'll notice with the other Washington receivers is they almost all line up on the right because Terry McLaurin plays basically every snap on the left. So that means Darius Slay will be lining up across from Olamide Zaccheaus. Now, Zaccheaus has forced 11 missed tackles on the season. That's the second most on the team. He doesn't really get targeted deep. He only has 4 targets over 20 yards. He has 32 targets 10 yards or less. So he is a short receiver, literally, but he is also a short target guy. They get him the ball in space. They get it to him on slants. They run bubble screens for him, and he makes guys miss. So on Darius Slay's side of the field, they're going to make Slay tackle. Like, Zaccheaus is going to make Slay tackle. Not the biggest guy, but hard to bring down. And so Slay's tackling will be a big deal on that side of the field. The other receiver that's involved a decent amount in their offense, Noah Brown, 6'2", 215 pounds. Eagles fans will remember him from his time with Dallas. He was from he played for the Cowboys 2017 to 2022. Spent a year in Houston. Now he's back in the NFC East. 56 targets this year, 35 catches, almost 500 yards, 1 touchdown. Again, kind of like Zaccheaus, he lines up predominantly on that right side. He will line up in the slot, not nearly as much as Zaccheaus. Zaccheaus almost 300 snaps in the slot. Noah Brown doesn't even have 100 snaps. So when Noah is out there, he'll be on the right side. McLaurin will be on the left side, and Zaccheaus will be in the slot. And that's like their most traditional 3 wide receiver set. So when they're in that, you'll have Slay against Noah Brown, who's a down the field guy. They do throw him the ball down the field. And then you have Zaccheaus in the slot against Cooper DeJean. And then, of course, Terry McLaurin against whoever's out there, whether it be Quinyon or Isaiah Rodgers. So two other players to know, especially one the Eagles fans unfortunately remember from the last time they played. Dyami Brown, 6 foot, 194 pounds, a third round pick in 2021. He has 300 yards on the season, one touchdown, and 30 catches on 40 targets. They throw it to him deep. When he's out on the field, they go deep to him. Almost 25% of his targets this year were 20 yards or longer, and he had a 51-yard catch against the Eagles back in Week 16. Again, a tough guy to tackle. 12 missed tackles, most on the team. So you think about the guys that are lining up across from Slay. Brown and Zaccheaus, 23 missed tackles between the two of them this season. Slay has been better tackling this year for sure, but I think even he would tell you tackling not the strength of his game. So while Quinyon and potentially Isaiah Rodgers are dealing with McLaurin on one side, Dyami Brown and Noah Brown on, I'm sorry, Zaccheaus on the other side with Slay, tackling will be huge there. So the other name, Luke McCaffrey, obviously the brother of Christian McCaffrey, 6 foot two, 195 pounds, a third round pick this year. Only two targets over 20 yards. They really like to get him the ball in short spaces, kind of like they do with Zaccheaus. So he's not going to be involved in this game a ton, but certainly a name to know going into the game. So the other part of the Washington passing game is obviously their running backs and their tight ends. Austin Eckler, big part of their passing game, 41 targets. That's, you know, almost putting him third among receivers. He'd be a little bit behind Noah Brown, but 41 targets, 35 catches, almost 400 yards, 10 and a half yards per catch. They will also put him in the slot. So the Eagles are going to have to decide when he lines up in the slot. Do they keep Cooper there? If they go with a two wide receiver set with Austin Eckler in the slot, do they keep that matchup? Do they trust Cooper there? He very, very rarely goes out wide, 23 snaps out wide, but they do it. I mean, 23 snaps out wide, that's, you know, a little more than one a game. So Austin Eckler, dangerous in space. He forces missed tackles, hard to bring down. Still very, very good player. Obviously, a lot of his career out there with the Chargers. But when, like, watching him this year, he still moves. He still makes guys misses. So a really nice player for them still out of the backfield. Brian Robinson Jr., we'll talk about him more later in the week when we talk about the running game. He's not as much a part of their passing game. Only 25 targets, 20 catches, only 159 yards. Just not really a big part of it. Great runner, and it's striking to me how tall he is when you see him out there, but not a huge part of the passing game. So the last one to get into is, of course, our old buddy, one of the best Eagles, if not the best Eagles tight end of all time. He is the best Eagles tight end of all time and one of the best Eagles of all time, Zach Ertz. I got to be honest, man, I'm happy for Zach Ertz. His career after he left the Eagles didn't really go as he planned. His teams weren't good. He wasn't playing a ton. He dealt with some injuries. He has bounced back this year in a major way. 91 targets, 66 catches, 650 plus yards. Vic Fangio today said he's one of the best tight ends in the NFL still. So numbers wise, I'd imagine he's right up there with all of them. 7 touchdowns. He lines up in the slot, 408 snaps in the slot. So they will put him straight up in the slot. And I do like the matchup of him versus Cooper. He has size on Cooper, but Cooper's a physical player. So I think that's a matchup where the Eagles would probably feel comfortable just having Cooper cover him. And then, of course, he lines up on the line as well. So they go to him in big situations. It feels like every time I watch the Commanders and they have a big down, fourth down, red zone, whatever, they go to Ertz. So Ertz is a really, really big part of their passing game. All right, who do I give the advantage to in this matchup? I give it to Washington. The Eagles have a really good secondary. They have a really good defense. But Terry McLaurin versus either a banged-up Quinyon or a somewhat rusty Isaiah Rodgers, that's a really tough matchup for the Eagles. And then you look at the how they use their receivers on the other side, I just don't think it's a great matchup for Slay. Slay's a way better corner than Zaccheaus is a receiver, Noah Brown's a receiver, Dyami, but like those guys make people miss tackles and they make people tackle, and that's just not Slay's strength. So I think they'll find a way to keep Ertz in check. I don't think they're going to give up like a ton of points, but I don't love the matchups of the Washington receivers versus the Eagles secondary. So that'll do it for today for the pod. Thank you guys. Thank you so much for listening. As I always say, and now that I'm doing two pods a day, you hear it a lot, but it does mean the world to me you guys listen. So thank you so much for listening. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.